The Playmaker's Blog, along with Shooting Lights Out, is sponsored by Fanatics. Official license everything. Memorabilia, jerseys, hats, whatever you call it. For all sports fans, for all different sports. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever the case may be. Official license everything with Fanatics.com. We are also sponsored by Liz.com. Locker Rooms by Liz. Get your customized hat with your favorite team logo on it. And get customized t-shirt as well at Locker Rooms by Liz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Shooting Lights Out.
Some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting Lights Out. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing? Look, this is gonna be a crazy weekend. That's why it took me all the way up to today, Thursday, March 3rd, to get the show up and running for you. Because look, tomorrow is the beginning of the Final Four for the ladies. Saturday is the men's Final Four. And then Sunday is the national championship game for the ladies. And then Monday is the national championship game for the men. Not to mention for my wrestling fan, it is WrestleMania weekend as well. There's so much going on, so I had to make sure I get everything done like I'm supposed to get done. Nevertheless, welcome to Shooting the Lights Out here from the Playmakers of Boss Sports Network. You know me, the host, Donovan Playmaker Sounds, out here in the good old state of Jacksonville, Florida. Oh, boy. I've been putting this show together for some days, trying to figure out which way or do I want to go, how I want to do it, and all this stuff. Because we are down to the final eight, ladies and gentlemen. We have literally, let's see, we got literally the final 10 games of the college basketball season, and it's over. And it is over. We are down to the final four. No, final six games. So three more men games, three more women's games, and college basketball is done. We'll crown two champions by the end of Monday, and we'll go from there. So to start off the show, we're going to kick it off with the ladies. I got to give my ladies first props on here, so we're going to kick off with the ladies. But first up, before we jump into it, the big news of the day. Naismith Award winner Caitlin Clark named Player of the Year, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, this is CBSSports.com. Iowa star Caitlin Clark was named the 2023 Naismith Player of the Year on Wednesday, recognizing her as the most outstanding player in women's basketball. And she has been awesome. Caitlin Clark has, and what Caitlin Clark has done in this tournament is amazing. She deserved it. It's been remarkable. Clark has been far and away the most statistically dominant player in the women's college basketball this season, as she is the only player to average more than 20 points. She's at 20.7. She's at 27.3 points a game, 8.6 assists per game, and 7.3 rebounds per game. Not to mention she recorded the first ever 40 triple double, and I'm gonna get to that when I get to my recap. But congratulations, Caitlin Clark. You have earned your due as the Player of the Year in the women's game. Now we have that out the way. Let's move on to our next thing. Nearly 80 players declared for the WNBA draft with more to come. As you see, you get a list of the key names that you see on here. You know, you see the Lady Volunteers guard Jordan Huster has entered Iowa Cyclone Center. Stephanie Sawyer has declared for the WNBA draft. Haley, of course, Haley Jones from Stanford is in there. Grace Beggar from Indiana. Ashley Jones, the Cyclones. Yeah, Leah Brown entering. Maddie Sirkris from Villanova, the outstanding big girl for the Wildcats. She has declared for the WNBA draft. And you have more to come. You still got Caitlin Clark get to choose. You still have Aaliyah Boston coming in. You still have other key players from that's in the Final Four yet to decide if they jumping in or not. So, like they said, nearly 80 players declared for the WNBA draft. Way more to come, and they ain't lying. There is more ladies that will be able to determine if they want to go to the WNBA or not. And it's going to get crazy. This might be the most anticipated WNBA draft that I have ever been, that I have probably ever witnessed. Now let's get to the recap of the NCAA tournament, shall we? We're starting off in the 16, to refresh your memory as we travel back and get us back to the present. Miami pulled off the upset of knocking out Villanova in a 9-4 matchup to get to the Elite Eight. LSU took down Utah to get to the Elite Eight. Iowa continued to roll behind Caitlin Clark to get to the Elite Eight. And Louisville had no business against Ole Miss to get to the Elite Eight. That was Friday's game. Saturday's game, where you got to see Maryland put a beating on Indiana. South Carolina showing their dominance over UCLA. Ohio State, the surprise upset of the Sweet 16, taking out UConn with that press defense. And Virginia Tech slowing down the Volunteers and taking them out. That was Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, ladies and gentlemen. LSU started off slow, but in the second half, put their dominance to show and dominated the second half, getting a 54-42 win over the Miami Hurricanes to win the Greenville Region 2 region. It was just one of those games. You saw Louisville. You got to see Louisville going against Iowa in a 2-5 matchup for the Seattle 4th region. Those games took place on Sunday. You saw Caitlin Clark, Haley Van Litt go at each other, but it was Caitlin Clark. The 40-point triple-double was taking place in this game. It came against Louisville, which is a stunning one. Let me get you the actual numbers. So you know the actual numbers. So if anybody asks you, you can give them the actual numbers that took place on Sunday. Let's see here. I know she had, I think it was like 41 points. So we talking 41 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. What a stat line. And she was 11 of 19 from the field, 8 from 14 from 3. Not only she had a 40-point triple-double, but she was efficient with it as well. Haley Van Litt led the way for the Cardinals with 27 points. But Caitlin Clark and Iowa was just too much. That was Sunday. Monday's matchup, you saw South Carolina Maryland go at it. Maryland came out strong. They came out strong. They put South Carolina in a bind in the first half. But if you've been watching Don Staley in the South Carolina game, because you know the second half is where they do their damage. And that's what they did. The second half, they did their damage. Sion cooked the Terps. I mean, she cooked them. She cooked them for, let me get you the numbers here. Cooked them for 18 points and 8 boards. Aaliyah Boston, 22 points, 10 boards, 5 assists. Bill also gave you 16, 7, and 6. So second half was South Carolina's and nothing can do. Diamond Miller played well, 24 points with 5 boards. Can't be mad at that. It's just South Carolina's too much. And they are 42-0 going into the Final Four. 42-0. And then the final game to recap. The Elite Eight to set up the Final Four. Virginia Tech came out in a hard fought matchup with Ohio State. This game, you didn't know what kind of game you was going to get between these two, because you know that press that LSU applied to UConn was troubling for UConn. You want to see how Virginia Tech handled it. And I mean, Ohio State came out fighting, but it was that fourth quarter. It was, matter of fact, I'll give you the second half. The second half, Virginia Tech outscored Ohio State 36-29. And that's how the Hokies make their first ever Final Four and win it by 10. Elizabeth Cady led the way with 25 points and 12 boards. Georgia Amore, 24 points. I mean, these two ladies have been balling all season, and they proved it on a big stage to win the Seattle Region 3 to get the Dallas for the Final Four. It is crazy how that happened. Very, very good to see. But as we stand right now for our Shooting Lights Out Tournament Challenge, I am currently in second place right now, right behind Mr. Johnny Weasel Blade. He has a very good chance of winning the $100 from me. He has me by 130 points, and we both picked South Carolina to win it all. The problem is for me, I didn't have Virginia Tech in my Final Four, but I did have LSU, and I did have Iowa along with South Carolina. But I had UConn in the championship game with South Carolina, and we know that's not going to happen. It's not over. Anything can happen, but we shall see. And anything can happen. But I did have LSU on the other side, so we shall see. Daniels, who's down there at the fourth spot, he has a shot. He still has an outside shot at $100 as well. But I'm trying to hold on as much as I can. But we shall see, because it's not going to be easy whatsoever. Okay? But nonetheless, the Final Four is set. So let's take a quick break right here. And when we come back, we're going to dive into the women's Final Four. The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team, rep the hardware, get comfortable, because Fanatics is the way to go, where sports fans shop and official license everything. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, Fanatics. Get your gear on the best deal that you can find on Fanatics.com. And then I'm just to let you know how good these two are. Let's see what Fanatics got going on today. All right, free U.S. shipping on orders over $24 using the code 24SHIP. That is 24SHIP on orders over $24. Free U.S. shipping. All right, now we're back on Shooting Lights Out. We got to get into the Final Four, which is in Dallas, Texas. And here's our your esteemed elite Final Four. You have the number one team in all of the land in the South Carolina Gamecocks, the reigning defending national champions led by Don Staley, Zion Cook, and, of course, Aaliyah Boston. On the other side, the other number one seed, the Virginia Tech Hokies making their first ever Final Four appearance. They also coming off winning their first ever ACC tournament championship as well. Georgia Amore is leading the way along with Elizabeth Cady. These girls know how to put up points in bunches, so let's see how they roll. Coming in as the second seed from the Seattle 4 region is the Iowa Hawkeyes, led by Nate Smith, National Player of the Year, Caitlin Clark. The team of Iowa, who like to score just as much as Virginia Tech does, but we should see how they fare against a Final Four opponent. And lastly, it is the Tiger of LSU, led by the Bayou Barbie of Angel Reese. You gotta know that Kim Markley, he's doing a phenomenal job coaching the Lady Tigers when she left the Lady Bears for LSU. And it's gonna be interesting to see. But these are your final 14: South Carolina, Virginia Tech, Iowa, and LSU. Like I said, this is the beginning of a crazy sports weekend starting tomorrow with the Ladies Final Four. And with the Ladies Final Four, we're gonna kick it off with LSU versus Virginia Tech. This game, ladies and gentlemen, will get started at 7 p.m. on the family of networks of ESPN, and ESPN Plus. You have the LSU Tigers coming in at 32-2 on the season against Virginia Tech at 31-4 on the season. LSU is a 2-point favorite, but here is the matchup. LSU likes to defend. LSU is a defensive team from the SEC. They like to hold you down. They like to make things tough for you. And if I'm looking at the numbers correctly, let me see. LSU is third in rebounding at 42.7 rebounds a game. Their defense is up there with, is in the top 10 in scoring. So you have to be ready if you're Georgia A. Moore, Elizabeth Cady, and the Virginia Tech Hokies, because LSU, they can play down and dirty. They only give up 57.7 points per game. That is crazy in a women's game. But you have one of the top offenses in the game in Virginia Tech who can score. They like to score. So if I was to look at Virginia Tech's numbers and how much they score, could they put up points? I mean, as much as I was the number one scoring team in the country at 87.5, but I'll get to that in our next matchup. But Virginia Tech shouldn't be far off. It's going to be interesting to see, because if you look at their last games, so if you look at it, let's look at the journey of Virginia Tech, speaking of offense. So they scored 75 points to win the ACC tournament over Louisville, 75-67. They only scored 58 against Chattanooga in their first round matchup, but they jumped back and got back into the 70s, dropping 72 against South Dakota State in the second round, 73 against Tennessee in the Sweet 16, and 84 against Ohio State. The same Ohio State team that held UConn down. They dropped 84 on them. They like to score in the 70s and 80s if you're Virginia Tech. Let's look at LSU. You want to look at it? Let's look at LSU. Okay. LSU gave up 50 to Hawaii in the first round matchup, 42 to Michigan. We're talking about a good Michigan team at that. They held them to 42. Held Utah to 63. They beat Miami. They held Miami to 42 to get to this game. So it seems to me 60 is the number for Virginia Tech, which they can obviously do. Matter of fact, 60 is pretty much the number for both teams right now. Because Tennessee is not a real big scoring team. I mean, they hit 83 in quarterfinals against Georgia in the SEC tournament, but mostly they don't really like to put up that type of point. They want to hold you down and eat you down. They want to be physical. They want you to feel them and drain you and take bad shots and not get you and not get offense and not get second chance, which is what they do. And Angel Reese is a double-double machine this year. Last year was Aaliyah Boston. This year it is Angel Reese. She the Bayou Barbie, okay? She is the catalyst, the leader of the LSU Tigers. But you're going against a feisty Georgia A. Moore from the Virginia Tech Hokies, who will find a way to get her shots up and find teammates to get shots up. So this is going to be interesting to see. Right now, Vegas has the Tigers from the Bayou as a 2-point favorite down at American Airlines Arena for tomorrow's game. We shall see how it goes. So will it be LSU or Virginia Tech punching their ticket to the national championship game? And after that game is the game that I like to call the game that will be the most watched game of the entire Final Four that Coop Man and Women. Because after Virginia Tech and LSU get done, it is the matchup that we all been wanting to see. The Iowa Hawkeyes, led by the Naismith Player of the Year and Caitlin Clark, going against the reigning, defending, undisputed national champions, the South Carolina Gamecocks, who have won 42 games in a row. But the return of Leah Boston, Zion Cook has been balling. Don State is still at the helm. The matchup of the superstars is here, ladies and gentlemen. And it's for a berth in the national championship. This is not for the national championship game. This is for a berth in the national championship game. We can go to the numbers again. Like I said, Iowa is the top scoring team in the land. 87.5 points per game they put up. LSU is third at 84.1. So I was actually wrong. They do. LSU can't put up points, so they can go up in the 80s if they want to. But back to Iowa and South Carolina. Iowa's the number one field goal percentage team. They shoot 51% per game. But guess who has the number one point differential? South Carolina. Their point differential is 30.3 a game. They just don't beat you. They beat you down. Okay, points allowed. South Carolina's fourth on the list at 51. They give up 51 a game. They are second in rebounding at 49.5 rebounds a game, right above LSU. Blocks per game. South Carolina number one at 9 a game. It is legit offense versus defense here. Well, it's Kirk Franklin because you got two SEC teams and both of them like to play defense. And you're going against a Big Ten team who has the Naismith Player of the Year who likes to score and leads the top scoring offense in the game. And then you have Virginia Tech from the ACC who just likes scoring as much. So my thing is this. Who will win today? Offense or defense? Because guess what? Ever since LSU took a taste of what it's like to go against South Carolina, they had to learn there's levels to this. They have been unstoppable. Matter of fact, let me show you what South Carolina did to LSU, okay? Because LSU was rolling. I mean, they were rolling. They played South Carolina. When did y'all play South Carolina? Y'all played South Carolina in a battle of unbeaten. This was back on February 12th. Columbia, South Carolina was 24-0, and LSU was 23-0. And what Angel Reese and LSU found out, there's levels to greatness. They found out from the opening tout, and they found themselves down 9 before you knew it, down 10 at halftime, and you could never get back. Let me tell you, I just told you, LSU is ranked in the top 10 in points because I had to correct myself. LSU only scored 15 points in the first quarter, 17 points in the second quarter, and 16 in both the third and the fourth quarter. They could not stop South Carolina, who dropped 88 on them to their 64. And Aaliyah Boston wasn't even the leading scorer for the South Carolina area. Aaliyah Boston gave you 14-9. Zion Cook gave you 17. Cardozo came off the bench and dropped 18-13. It's already bad enough you got to deal with Aaliyah Boston. Then if Zion Cook gets started, that's a problem. And if Bill give you anything, that's a problem. You got Cardozo coming off the bench that's going to give you something. You got Cooper that can come off the bench and hoop. You got Watkins that can come off the bench and play. Don Sutter can go 9 deep if she really want to and wear Iowa out. But we all know we're talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clarkson. player of the year, who's going to do whatever she needs to do to get her team to win. So you know it's going to start with Caitlin Clark. But let's not forget Miss Warnock. Let's not forget Miss Sonano, who actually fouled out against Louisville and only played 26 minutes. That could happen again because we're going against Lil Baltimore and that duo of South Carolina bigs. Okay, Marshall, who is a sniper from three, Mark can do some good things. But if I was going to hang around, they're going to need help on their bench. Because South Carolina can go nine deep and all nine can hoop. And I don't mean hoop as in, oh, because they play better. When I say hoop, all nine can hoop. Zion Cook can get it started when she wants to. You know what you're going to get from Aaliyah Boston. Cardozo comes in, she just another Aaliyah Boston. That's why Vegas right now, which is like the game we all been waiting for, and Vegas don't even have a clue. Vegas got South Carolina winning by 11 and a half. This is the game of the year for both men and women, and Vegas is like, yeah, we got South Carolina by double digits. This is how deep and talented South Carolina is. And Vegas is sitting here saying, the day before it goes down, Vegas said 11 and a half, South Carolina. Now, are they trolling us to make you say, hey, wait a minute, y'all disrespecting Louisville, y'all disrespecting Iowa? You know, Caitlin Clark, they're going to do their thing. They're going to be in this game. Or Vegas is telling you, y'all not paying attention to South Carolina as much as y'all should have. Point differential is 30.3. I don't know what to tell you, but at this point, it's going to be something. And trust me when I tell you, this will be the most watched Final Four game this year. I ain't even get to the manager, and I don't even care. This game right here is going to be the most watched Final Four game, okay? And it actually kind of works out perfectly because even though it's WrestleMania week for my wrestling fans, when they get started, SmackDown will be halfway done. So, all eyes are going to be on this game for the second half. Oh, once SmackDown goes off at 10 o'clock Friday night, people are going to turn to ESPN to guess the second half of Iowa and South Carolina to see what the hell's going on and if Clayton Clark can be David and slay Goliath, which is the South Carolina Gamecocks. Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know. But this is it. This is your time frame right here. American Airlines Arena in Dallas, Texas, where the Dallas Mavericks play it. Your first game is LSU Virginia Tech, and after that is the show of all shows, the matchup of the year, Iowa and South Carolina afterwards. So get ready, because it's going down. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to flip over to the man.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, aka the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now don't get me wrong. Ricky, I respect what he says. He could very well be correct. But I gotta be honest with you, the fact that Khan is interested in supposedly buying WWE, I mean, to me, that's definitely worth talking about. Now, now I should mention this. Shout out to Ricky, by the way. And I got to mention this, that even Jim Cornette already had something to say. And he said, and I quote, "Ridiculous to think that could happen," unquote. A wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler and everything that WWE could have done with him and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like, in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So, basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and, of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Particular episode was about World Class Championship Wrestling. And the episode title is, you know, WCCW Wrestling's Lone Star Legacy. And because I am the Bear of Texas, and I do hail from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of the state of Texas, World Class Championship Wrestling was basically my territory as far as being a wrestling fan goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Shout out to my man, Alex Lacazza, the Bear of Texas, and Ringside Chaos, who will be giving you what you need to get you ready for WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen, and the Hall of Fame and all that good stuff. But it is WrestleMania week, like I said, at the beginning of the show, and it's also from the fourth weekend, as I said before. So we already did it, ladies, but now we got to go to the men. And to kick it off the men's side, Caleb Love will leave North Carolina into transfer portal, which is crazy. Caleb Love had a terrible season, as all of North Carolina had a terrible season, as they went from preseason number one to not even making the NCAA tournament and skipping the NRT. But Caleb Love, after two seasons with the Tar Heels, is going into the transfer portal. He's starting to see where he will land at, and can he develop his game a little bit better? Because he shot less than 38% from the field, which is terrible. Very terrible. Kentucky guard Sabo Worley also is going to enter transfer portal. He didn't get to see a lot of action this upcoming season under John Calipari, so he decided to enter transfer portal, which is interesting because the transfer portal has paid dividends. As you can see, when we get to our Final Four matchup, that's paid dividends for a lot of these teams in this tournament this year. Moving right along, Oregon's Kylie Wade, former top 10 recruit, to enter portal as well. And Mr. Terry, Coach Terry, is officially the new coach of the Texas Longhorns. He led them all the way up to the Elite Eight after the university dismissed Chris Beard over domestic violence allegation that was later dropped by the girlfriend. Fiance, shall I say. Now, he fell short to the Miami Hurricanes, which I will get to. But he officially got the job. I believe it was 5 years. I think it's a 5-year deal, if I remember correctly. So shout out to Mr. Terry for officially getting the head coaching job. Going all the way in, Smith is leaving NC State to enter draft. Shout out to Smith. He had a phenomenal year for the Wolfpack. But he ain't the only one. Baylor star freshman Keontae George is also declined from the NBA draft. Both guys are projected with somewhere around in the top 10, top 15 range. So we'll see where they go and how they develop into the professional league. Now let's get to our recap, starting with the Sweet 16 that began Thursday. Kansas State, the game of the tournament. Michigan State, Kansas State, Madison Square Garden, back and forth affair. Overtime game, Marquise Noel put on the show. This man had 19 assists, 20-something points, and 19 assists is a record in the NCAA tournament single game. That's a remarkable display. He was refusing to go home while playing in his hometown of New York City. That's a phenomenal, I mean phenomenal display by Marquise Noel to get them past the Michigan State Spartans and Tom Izzo to get to their Elite Eight. UConn, the most dominant team throughout the entire tournament, is UConn, and they pulled that dominance with a 23-point win over Arkansas. FAU! In Madison Square Garden against the physical Tennessee volunteer team, and they handled the physicality that the Volunteers brought to them, stunning the Volunteers, the fourth seed, 62-55. And then Gonzaga and UCLA gave us another classic game to watch. Gonzaga edging out UCLA 79-76 in that one. Equally as shocking as FAU taking down Tennessee, it is San Diego State with the stifling defense holding down Alabama to 64 points. With the asset reaching the Elite Eight, 71-64. And then the last and final one seed went down. Right after the number one overall seed went down, the Houston Cougars was outmatched on the offensive end by the Miami Hurricanes, 89-75. All number one seeds done before the Elite Eight for the first time ever in the NCAA tournament. The run of Princeton ended in the Sweet 16, where Creighton outshot them 86-75. The Tigers fell down to the Blue Jays. And then Texas showed that with some defensive stops and great offense, you can take down Xavier. And they took them down by 12, 83-71. That was the Sweet 16. It made me happy, Elite Eight. In the Elite Eight, Madison Square Garden, it was the South region. I mean, it was the East region, FAU versus K-State. Which team will punch their ticket to the Final Four, the first Final Four in program history? Florida Atlantic Iowa! What a game. What a game. Florida Atlantic is in the Final Four. And they did it at Madison Square Garden. Boca Raton was on another level. To see the Owls make history. And I do mean history. And then UConn continued their dominance, and they dominated. They just dominated Gonzaga. 82-54. It was a beatdown for the ages. It was a beatdown that Gonzaga had witnessed in a very long time. And UConn proving why they are the most dominant team in the NCAA tournament, as they took the rest region to get to the Final Four. That was Saturday. This was Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. A controversial ending to the game. Do you call a foul? Was it a foul? Should you call it and all that good stuff? One, by the definition, it is a foul. Okay. By definition, it is a foul. So what most people fail to, I know what the argument people are trying to say about how that game finished, but let me make the argument for you, okay? And only a handful of people made the correct argument. The correct argument for this is that it is a foul. That is the definition of a foul, what happened. That's the definition of a foul. The problem that people have, you weren't calling that in the first 5 minutes of the game. The last 5 minutes of the first half. You weren't calling that in the first 5 minutes of the second half. So how all of a sudden with a second to go, now you call the foul? But you only called 11 fouls throughout the whole game until that moment. 11 total fouls called. And you called that one. That is the issue of what people have. But they just didn't put it in the correct terms of saying. If you call 11 fouls throughout the whole game, was telling me you're going to let them play. But when you get down to the final seconds, sorry about that, you call that. And essentially, the guy makes one out of two for San Diego State. Creighton tries to throw the long heave. He gets tipped up out of bounds. The clock didn't stop right after he got tipped in the air. They go to review. They do a stopwatch and all this other stuff. Game over. San Diego State wins. Creighton goes home. Greg McDermott's not happy with the situation, how they were went about. I don't blame him. Nevertheless, the call stands. It is what it is. San Diego State wins the South region to advance to their first ever Final Four. And then the final spot came to the Midwest region in Kansas City, Missouri. The 5th seed Miami Hurricane taking on the 2 seed Texas Longhorns. A game that went back and forth. Carr gets injured, comes back in. Miami big man fouls out. All this good stuff, but it was Miami's guards. Miami's guards pulled in and pulled away from the Texas Longhorns to take it 88-81. As Miami makes their first ever trip to the Final Four. Before we get to the Final Four, as you already previously saw, you do not see me in this graphic. You know why? Because Alabama lost, and I am completely done. So I can tell you for sure, somebody in the mid-size winning $100 from me, because Alabama got beat by San Diego State. I had Texas in the Final Four, didn't make it. I had Gonzaga in the Final Four, didn't make it. That's three right there. And I had Marquette in the Final Four, didn't make it. So pretty much my Final Four and championship is all no show, which means I'm done. So the guy that you see highlighted down there who has the Butters bracket three, I need to find out who that is. He has the best chance of winning because he picked Miami. He picked the U. He picked the U to win, y'all. And the U is in the Final Four. Now, they do have a very, and I do mean very tough matchup ahead, which I'll get to after a break. Nevertheless, he has the best shot. And outside of that, you're looking at the guy at the top right there, ESPN fan. 3974711679 Black Life, he has the second best chance, even though he picked Duke to win it all. But his Final Four was different than most of our Final Four, so he has another shot. And then my boy Tyler Ingram, he has the third best chance of winning it, even though he picked Alabama as I did to win the whole thing. So Monday, we're gonna see who's winning $100. So gonna be interesting, but like I said, after this break, we are going to dive into the Final Four.
The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens. And enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Paramount Plus, a way for you to watch the Final Four, which will be live on CBS. So if you have problems trying to get to a TV, just get Paramount Plus and you can go ahead and start at $4.99. You can get a free trial for the Final Four. And that free trial will get you started from what? Saturday all the way up to the following Saturday. See if you like it or not. You got all the great shows you can watch on there as well. Like CSI Miami, CSI New York, you have Scorpio on there, FBI, SWAT, all the good stuff is on there. With Paramount Plus, you got the classic Nickelodeon. Cartoons on there like Rugrats, Hey Arnold. Paramount Plus is a great app to get. So if you don't got to get it and get ready for the Final Four on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for it. And speaking of the Final Four, we are here. Houston, Texas. Yes, the ladies are in Dallas. The men are in Houston. And the Final Four will get kicked off Saturday. As you can see, San Diego State, FAU, Miami, and UConn are your Final Four teams. You have three first-timers in the Final Four in San Diego State, FAU, and Miami. You have no top three seeds in the Final Four. San Diego State is a 5 seed. FAU is a 9 seed. Miami is a 5 seed, and UConn is a 4 seed. And the last time this last time this team was in Houston, a certain team that were blue and are called Huskies, who are in the final four this year, actually, we'll know who they. And that was when Kemba Walker made that magical run when he went five, when UConn had to go 5 days and five games and 5 days to win the Big East tournament, and they kept that run going all the way up to Houston to win the national championship. Yep, UConn is here again as the most dominant team in the tournament. Now, our first matchup is the San Diego State Aztec, the South Region winners against the East Region winners in FAU. San Diego State had a path to get here that didn't seem, it wasn't likely to happen, but it made it happen, as you can see. San Diego State played College of Charleston, handled business against College of Charleston very well. They won that game. Let me get you the final score here. Make sure I do this the correct way and not just do it any kind of way. Let's go here. All right. Cards of Charleston, they won in a very close neck battle. 63-57. Good win for them. 6-point win for the Aztecs in that one. Round two, they got to face Farmer, who came out the upset win of Virginia. They put them in their place, winning 75-52. Then the upset of all upsets, taking down the number one overall seed in the Alabama Crimson Tide, led by Brandon Miller, who did not have a great game. He did not have a great tournament this year, to be honest. If I look at Brandon Miller's numbers, only 9 points, 3 for 19 from the field, 1 for 10 for three, but he did give you 11 buzzers. But look at the Aztecs were stifling. They held Alabama to 11% shooting from three, which it says a lot because they like to shoot threes. They love shooting three. 3 for 27 from three was the Alabama Crimson Tide in this big upset loss to the San Diego State Aztecs. And of course, the controversy thing with the Creighton Blue Jays to get here to win the South region. That is the San Diego Aztecs path to the Final Four. FAU, on the other hand, was more surprising than whatnot. They win Conference USA handily. And then they had their opening matchup in the 8-9 with the American champions of Memphis Tigers and Penny Holloway, which they got by 66-65. And then we had a matchup that nobody expected in it, FAU versus FDU. Fairly Dickerson versus a Florida Atlantic, and Florida Atlantic handled business 78-70 in that one. Thus, you just recall the surprise upset win against a physical Tennessee team in the Sweet 16, 62-55, and then the back and forth affair between the Owls and the Wildcats of Kansas State as the Owls upset Kansas State to win the East region to get to the Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking Matt Bradley for the San Diego State Aztec leading the charge with 12.5 points per game, shooting 40% from the field. Going against Jarnell Davis, who is averaging 14 points a game on 49% shooting from the field. You have an Aztec team that is tenacious on defense. And you have an Owls team who is a balanced team that can play defense and that can play offense. Now, if I sit here and look at it, look at top defensive leaders, you don't see none of these teams in here like that. So let's see what San Diego State's season stats look like. Okay, here we go. San Diego State has an overall record of 31-6. They are very good on the defensive side. Very good on the defensive side. Because when you hit San Diego State, you hear defense. That's just called it what it is. You hear defense. They lock you down at the right moment in time. That I can say. Let's go to the Northwest. They're not that good. They don't score that much. You're talking about a team that averages what? Let's see. A team that averages 72 points per game. They shoot 44% from the field. They shoot 35% from three, which is not that good. But it's the defense, though. It's the defense the reason why they are who they are. If I look at San Diego State, they give up 63 points a game. Their whole point is to 40% shooting from the field, 28% from three-point range, which is, as you can see, Alabama shot 11% from the three-point range. It's the defense that does it for the Aztecs. Defense. Now let's look at the Owls. Conference USA. They finally here in the Conference USA. The Florida Owls are in the Final Four. Before they made the transition to the American Conference, replacing a team just up north for them, about a good 2.5 hours, and that'll be the UCF Knights, who will be moving to the Big 12. Florida Atlantic. Defensively, they give up 65 points per game. Opponents shoot 40% from the field. They also shoot 32% from three, so they're not that far off from San Diego State defensive-wise, but offensively, they score 78 points a game. They shoot 60% from the field, and they shoot 37% from three. To me, could the Owls be favored? No, because they have the assets for it by 2.5. ESPN says 57.7% in favor of the assets of San Diego State. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the Owls pull this off. Okay? If you're looking at their tournament run, let's see. 66 on Memphis, 78 on Fairleigh Dickinson, 62 on Tennessee, and 79 on Kansas State. Let's see the defensive prowess of the assets. First round matchup, they gave up 57. Against Fromm, they gave up 52. Against Alabama, they gave up 64. And against Creighton, they gave up 56. You're talking about a team that can score high 70s and against a team that gave up less than 60 points. This is going to be a matchup of crash test and style. San Diego's defense was FAU's offense. Something's going to give. You're talking about two teams that have won 30-plus games. FAU has won 35 games this season. They are 35-3. San Diego State is 31-6. San Diego's on an 8-game winning streak. Florida Atlantic's on an 11-game winning streak. This game here is going to be very intense, very heart-pounding for both fan bases and basketball fans in general, because you don't know what's going to happen. We're talking 78 points per game for the Owls against 57 points per game from the SS defense. This is going to be something to behold. Does offense win today, or does defense, like y'all say, defense win championships, offense win games? Which one's going to prevail? Because this is a spot in a national championship game on Monday night. That's going to be a doozy. Then we get to the most dominant team in the country, in the UConn Huskies, against the other third and final team who's making their first ever Final Four appearance, in the Miami Hurricanes. Look, this is what UConn has done since the tournament, because they lost in the Big East tournament to Marquette, who actually won the Big East before. They took on Wibbetino and Iona before Wibbetino became the head coach of St. John's. They beat them 87-63, okay? I don't have a pencil with me. I wish I did, but okay. Let me use this real quick. So we talking. Let's see here. UConn won by what? 24 points in round one. Then we have UConn beating St. Mary's Gales. They beat them by 15. That's round two. Sweet 16 against the Arkansas Razorbacks. They beat them by 23. And then the Elite Eight matchup with Gonzaga, they beat them by 28. In the four games these dudes played, all by double digits, at least 15 points. Now, let me do something out there, because I'm going to give you the average margin of victory of this, okay? We talking 24, 15, 23, and 28. They are winning by an average margin of 22 points a game. 22 points a game in the tournament is the UConn Huskies. This is crazy. This is the most dominant team in the tournament. And I hate it, to be honest. I do. And you know that you know Vegas ain't giving them a chance. Not Miami, but Miami. Miami beat Drake by 7. They beat Indiana by 16. They beat Houston by 14. And they beat Texas by 7. Now, the way you look at it, you can say, okay, UConn beat Iona. Who cares? There's only Rivers Hill over there. St. Mary's get a little West Coast Conference team. Okay. Arkansas. Okay. And Gonzaga. So you beat what? 15? And so you beat, look at UConn's thing here. Let me find them first. You beat 13, 5, 8, and 3. Texas, on the other hand, 12. 1, 12, 4, 1, and 2. Who had the more difficult? I think Miami might be ready more than people might give them credit for, because they had to go through one of the best Big Ten teams in the country in Indiana. The number one seed in your bracket in the Houston Cougars, and then the second seed in that bracket, the Texas Longhorns. So it could be possible that Miami might come in prime and ready for a matchup, and UConn could overlook them. So you say what, Iona, St. Mary's, Arkansas? Now, Gonzaga's are very impressive. I ain't gonna hold you. Gonzaga's very impressive. By the way, UConn has not lost a non-conference game. All they 8 losses were in conference. UConn is 29-8, and all 8 came to Big East. So let's just say they are 29-0 against everybody else. Miami is 29-7. Okay. Now let's look at it here. Points per game, Miami, damn near 80. UConn is at 79. Defense, 70 for Miami, 59 for UConn. That's a big difference. Field goal percentage, 48 for Miami, 46 for UConn. Rebounds, 35 for Miami, 39 for UConn, plus 4 Huskies. Assists per game, 15 for Miami, 18 for UConn, plus 3. Blocks, 3 for Miami, 5 for UConn, plus 2. Steals per game, 7 and 6, plus 1, Miami. Every category, UConn's better, except for points and steals. Points per game, defensive points per game, field goal. But I'm just saying, do not be surprised if Miami punches UConn in the mouth and let them know, you're not going to treat us like you did Gonzaga. You're not going to treat us like you did St. Mary's. You're not going to treat us like you did Arkansas. You're going to win, you're going to have to earn it. Do not be shocked if Miami comes in there and says, yo, y'all going to have to earn this one. Y'all been cruising. Y'all ain't cruising. Y'all not cruising Saturday night. Y'all not cruising Saturday night. We don't care. Y'all not cruising Saturday night. Y'all gonna have to bury us to win this. But does Miami have anybody for Adama Sanogo? And the thing is, listen to Coach Harlan speak on first day. He ain't the most valuable player on that team. It's Watkins. So, ESPN says 76.7 in favor of the UConn Huskies, giving Miami a 23.3% chance. We shall see, because it's going to be going down. And the national championship game is Monday night. This is your time. We have the Florida Atlanta Owls and the San Diego Aztec getting us started at 6:09 p.m. Saturday. And after that game is done at 8:49, or sometimes after that game, it's Miami and UConn for a trip to Monday's national championship game. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I have for you today. It is the Final Four. We in Dallas for the women. We in Houston for the men. Sunday and Monday is the national championship games, respectively, along with WrestleMania. So you have everything you can watch. And plus, opening day baseball has begun today as well. So all my sports fans, get to it. We have a lot to get into this weekend. And we got a lot to talk about once the weekend's over with. So until next week, I'm the Playmaker. I'll catch y'all.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the floor.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.